How you doing? I don't know. You know, this is not a big one for the slides. So I'll just... the slides are really just all pictures of Mary. Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. Ooh, it's 6 o'clock. Do you know if the live stream just starts? It's like a live stream. Maybe it's going all the time. I don't know. Yeah, they're live streaming. For the kids at home, I guess. Some kids. Hello. Let's get going. Okay. All right. Okay, I think we're ready to get started here. This is, like I think I said, the fifth time I've been speaking with you guys, but I'm very forgettable. So once again, my name is Mr. Lombardi. And I have a question for you guys. What do you think I'm going to do for each one of you guys tonight? Any ideas? I'm going to pray for you guys tonight. And what do you think I would deeply appreciate if each one of you could do for me and my family tonight? That you would pray for me and my family. So I'd really appreciate it if you guys could do that tonight. Okay? Now, as I've said the past times that we've gotten together, I truly, if you have something to say, an opinion, a thought, or a question, let me know. Because I truly believe what you have to say here tonight is way more important than what I have to say. And I also truly believe that God doesn't really want to hear too much from me, but he would love to hear from you. Okay? So why don't we start tonight off by praying together. And we're going to pray the Hail Mary. Okay? So let's bow our heads in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right, we're going to talk about the Blessed Virgin Mary tonight. Okay? So let's start off, and I'd just love to know anything that you know about Mary. Anything. How to spell her name. Anything you know about Mary. Just, anybody have anything? What's that? Okay. Her name is up there. But anything you know about Mary? Anybody? Or are we saying we know nothing at all about Mary? She's a virgin. Very good. In fact, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that tonight. What else? With what? Associated with roses. Okay. All right. Anything else? Yes. She is blessed. That's a huge point. Jesus' mother. That's another big point. Very good. Anything else? All right, well, that's a really good start. That's a really good start. Okay, so before we actually get into the material, like the regular materials tonight, there's a couple things. Are you guys good? Yeah. There's a couple things that I want to share with you about Mary, just some high-level stuff. A few years ago, actually during COVID, we were teaching religious education to a group like yourself. But we couldn't really get together, so we were using the series that you might have heard of, The Chosen. And we were teaching the kids about through the series of The Chosen. And The Chosen is really a lot about Jesus and his like public ministry and the apostles. So one of the students, she said to me, she raised a very interesting point to me. She said, I feel like we're always just learning about men. And I said, that's actually a good point. There's a lot of men in the Bible. What I did say to her is, understand this though. Mary is our greatest saint. Mary is the greatest saint above all other saints, men and women. Okay? There's another thing I always personally found very interesting about Mary. See, a lot of the saints, a lot of the people who came to follow Jesus, they did it kind of after they saw Jesus perform a miracle. Or they did it after they heard Jesus preach. Or they did it after they heard stories about Jesus. But not Mary. God told Mary what was going on with Jesus, and she was all in from day one. 100% faith, 100% courage. She needed no evidence. She needed nothing. She was all in on supporting Jesus. Okay? And the other thing about Mary I wanted just to kind of point out, we're going to talk, yes, sir. What was that? I can't hear what you're saying. She was on board, but she was on board immediately. She didn't need to see anything or hear anything. The other thing I wanted to point out about Mary, somebody said, well, Mary is the mother of God. Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about Mary being the mother of God. But understand that Mary was also a mom who had a son. Okay? When we hear about Jesus, and we're going to talk more about this, but when we hear about Jesus' life, for the most part, we hear about 10% of Jesus' life in the Bible. The other 90%? That we really don't hear much about, he spent with Mary, who raised him, who nurtured him, and who prepared him for his future. Just a couple things I just want to say about Mary before we got into it. So let's get into it now, the Blessed Virgin Mary. So if you're like me, you're a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, we talk a lot about Jesus Christ. But we have to understand, we can never forget who made it all possible. And that is the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we aspire, once we get to know Mary, we aspire to live like Mary, to behave like Mary. But understand, God, he didn't just like randomly pick some woman to say, hey, you're going to be the mother of Jesus. We believe that God gave Mary special gifts. So Mary can not just be the mother of God, that Mary can be the heavenly mother for all of us. That's why in our faith, there really can never, in my opinion, be an orphan. Because every single child has a heavenly mother and a heavenly father who loves them. And so do you. Okay? But we believe God gave Mary these special gifts to be our Heavenly Mother and the Mother of God. And the church teaches us four teachings that we're going to talk about tonight about Mary. The first teaching is that Mary is the Immaculate Conception. Okay? The second teaching is that Mary is the Perpetual Virgin. Now let me just stop there for a minute. That word virgin, that's an awkward word. That's kind of it's an uncomfortable word. It's not a word we use a lot. We say all the time. But tonight, in this context, that's a very important word. Because that word is going to speak to Mary's purity. So we're going to talk about that. The third thing we're going to talk about tonight is that Mary was, in fact, the mother of God. And that's a really, really big one. And then the last thing we're going to talk about is that Mary was assumed into heaven, body and soul. Those are the four teachings, okay? So let's start off with the first one. And I'm going to ask you guys tough questions tonight. We'll see how it goes. Mary is the Immaculate Conception. Now, who's going to be brave enough to try to answer this question? What is the Immaculate Conception? What do you think? So the answer was she was told she had a baby. That is a good attempt, reasonable, but that's not the answer. Who else? You've heard it 100 times. You've probably heard it 1,000 times. What's the Immaculate Conception? What do you think? Anybody? She gave you a big clue there. What's the Immaculate Conception of Mary? If you ask most Catholics, they will say that the Immaculate Conception must be when Jesus was consumed in Mary's womb, when Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb. But that's not the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception is when Mary was conceived in her mother's womb. And it's called the Immaculate Conception because we believe that Mary was conceived in her mother's womb, unlike us, without original sin. And we further believe that Mary in her life never sinned, ever. Why is that important? Why does the church go out of its way to teach us this? That Mary, she was conceived without original sin and that she never sinned. Why? Any idea why that's important? I mean, we believe that throughout history, billions and billions and billions of us were all born with original sin. Yes, sir? That's pretty much the right answer. It makes her holier and it makes her special. Understand this, that God was to become man through Mary. God was to become man through Mary. Therefore, Mary had to be the perfect vessel for that to happen. Perfectly pure. Therefore, Mary was not born with original sin, and we don't believe that she ever sinned. From the beginning, from her conception, which we call the Immaculate Conception. Now, we learn in the Bible that original sin was committed by Eve. Adam and Eve? That original sin was committed by Eve. What was that? What's that? Well, so we're not going to get into the story of Adam and Eve, but we believe that God created man, and Adam and Eve in the Bible is a symbol of that. And we believe Eve created original sin, and it is said that the knot of Eve's disobedience was untied by Mary's complete obedience. Okay? And we believe that the Bible had prophesied the coming of Mary for centuries before Mary was born, centuries before Jesus was born. We believe the Bible spoke about Mary. For instance, in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, God is speaking to Satan, and God said, I will put enmity, which means opposition. I will put opposition between you and the woman. And between your offspring and hers, they shall strike at your head. And you, the devil, can only strike at their heel. So God said to the devil, I am going to put opposition between you and the woman. What woman? What woman? Eve? Not Eve. Eve had just committed original sin. We believe God was talking about Mary. And we believe that the devil stands for everything that is bad and everything that is evil. And Mary stands in complete opposition to the devil. So she stands for everything that is good and everything that is pure. Okay? Also in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah said, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel," meaning Messiah or Savior. So in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah said, yeah, there's a virgin who's going to have a son, and that son is going to be the Savior. And they start talking about that this is going to be a virgin who has a son. Also in the Old Testament, the prophet Micah said this, "But you, O Bethlehem, who are little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who's to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in travail has brought forth. Then the rest of his brethren shall return to the people of Israel." We believe that the New Testament is hidden in the Old Testament. And we believe that the Old Testament is then revealed in the New Testament. And when we look back in the Old Testament, we see time and time again that the prophets were talking about a virgin who was going to have a son who was going to be the Messiah. As a matter of fact, and one thing to understand about this time is that the Jewish people prayed every day that a Messiah would come and save them from oppression, free them. And that this, and they thought that this Messiah was going to be this powerful military general. But this prophet Micah, centuries before Jesus and Mary came along, was saying, no, no, no. This Savior will come, but this Savior is going to come out of this obscure town, this little obscure town called Bethlehem. And the Savior is going to be born of a virgin. That's what this prophet was saying way before Jesus and Mary came along. Which leads us to our second teaching, that Mary was the perpetual virgin. What does that mean? That means that we believe Mary was a virgin before, during, and after the birth of Jesus. How on earth can that be possible? That's the next logical question. How could that be? Well, one thing is we have to understand is anything is possible with God. And we cannot always think of what God does in how humans think of things. We can't put our limits and our limitations on what's possible and apply that to what God can do. Because as the creator of the universe, we believe God can do anything. So one thing to understand is that Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb, not by man, but by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because a man can never create more than himself. A man can never create more than another man or another woman. Only God can create more. Therefore, Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. You might say, well, what about Joseph? Joseph's role was more of a caretaker. Joseph's role was to protect Mary, protect her purity, protect her virginity, and to take care of and protect his holy family. But we still might say, yeah, but how can you bear a child and still maintain this purity and this virginity? There are people who have had visions of what the birth of Jesus was like. One of those visions was Mary in the manger with Joseph sound asleep and Mary surrounded by intense light, warm light. All around her, she's looking up at heaven, and the baby Jesus appears in her arm. Some of this is a mystery that we don't have every detail to, but we believe from everything we know and everything we've heard, is that Mary maintained her perpetual purity through the birth of Jesus. So now we get to the third teaching. This one to me is just a big one. Mary is the mother of God. So let's think about this for a second. I alluded to this earlier. When we think of the Bible, right, we have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. And as Catholics, we believe the New Testament is just way more important than the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, there's four books in there called the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we believe those four books in the New Testament are the most important part of the New Testament. Because those books tell us everything that we know about the life of Jesus. But the interesting thing about those books is not totally, but almost totally, they're about the life of Jesus and his public ministry. They're about the life of Jesus is when he was in his like late 20s. So these four gospels, which is everything we know about Jesus, only talk to us about 10% of his life, roughly. The other 90% was he was with his mother, Mary. And like I mentioned, she was raising him. She was nurturing him. And she was preparing him. One of the most popular stories in the Bible is, in the Gospels actually, is called the Wedding at Cana. You might have heard of this, the Wedding at Cana. And at this wedding, Jesus was there, the apostles were there, and Mary was there. And what was happening at the wedding was they were running out of wine. Well, back at this time, that was like the single most humiliating thing that could happen to a family. You invite all these people and you run out of wine at a huge celebration. So they came to Jesus and they said, is there anything you can do to help us? And Jesus, understand, Jesus was human. Jesus didn't, he wasn't sure what to do. He wasn't sure if he should help them because he knew that if he helped them, everything was going to change. That everyone was going to know who he, or going to start to know who he was. He knew that if he helped them, there was no going back. So he was not sure. And his mother came up to him. And his mother said to him, it's time. It's time. And she looked at everyone around him and she said, do whatever he says. And Jesus turned the water into wine. And that was this very, very start of his public ministry. That was his first public miracle, and there was no going back after that. But at that critical moment, a young man, not sure what to do, faced with a big decision, he needed his mom to settle him down and to point him in the right direction. And Mary was there. So let's talk about kind of how all this unfolded for Mary in terms of being the mother of God. So this is what the Bible tells us. The Bible says, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth. So you always hear Jesus of Nazareth, right? You hear that all the time. Jesus of Nazareth. That's the town he lived in. So the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Does that sound familiar? Where have we heard that before? Anybody? The prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you, right? What's grace? He just said, Hail Mary, Mary. An angel from God said, Mary, you're full of grace. What is grace? Grace are the gifts from God. Grace are the gifts from God, the love of God, the power of God. We hear Amazing Grace. We hear that song, Amazing Grace. Grace are God's gifts to us. And the angel is saying to Mary, Mary, you are full of God's grace. You don't just have some of God's grace. You don't have half. You are full of God's gifts, full of God's love, and you are full of God's power. Right? So the angel says to Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. And then the angel says to Mary, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High and the Lord. God will give him the throne of David, his father. So the angel just appears to Mary and says, You're going to bear a son, and we're going to call him the Lord. And I wasn't there, but I bet she was like, What? 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 What did you just? What? And she says, What? How could this be? How could this be? The angel says, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy. Your son will be called the Son of God. Let's put this in a little context for a second. The Jewish people have been praying for centuries for the Messiah to come. Every day. It was part of their life. Every day they're praying for the Messiah. And this angel shows up at Mary's house and says, Oh, guess what? The Messiah is finally coming. But he's not going to beam down. The clouds aren't going to open up. There's not going to be a big flash of light. And this huge, strong military general is going to just appear. That's not how it's going to happen. The angel said, No, the Messiah is coming, but he's going to be a baby, and you're going to be the mother. Think about the weight of that moment on this young woman. Think, how do you process something like that? You and everyone you know has been praying for this great, huge, big, strong military leader to show up and save everybody. And the angel just says, Oh, yeah, you're going to be the mom. How do you even process that? Does anybody know what Mary said? Any guesses what Mary said back to the angel? What's that? She didn't say wrong house. This is what she said. She said, Be it done unto me according to your word. Basically what she said was, Okay. Okay. The weight of the world on her shoulders, and she says, Okay. So my question to you is, how do you say yes to something like that? How do you say yes to something like that? There's only one answer, really. You have to have the faith, you have to have the courage, and you have to have the strength of an army. That's the only way you just say yes to something like that. But I have another question for you. Why Mary? Why? Why didn't God just open the clouds and send somebody down? Why didn't somebody just show up in a blaze of glory? Why this way? Why Mary? That's a good thought. There's something even more basic than that. Why not just send somebody in prayer? Very simply, we believe Jesus was 100% human and 100% God. And the linchpin of our faith, what our entire faith is based on, is that we believe that Jesus was born, that Jesus was crucified, and that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus could not have rose from the dead if he was not first human. And his humanness came from Mary. Our faith doesn't work without that. None of this works without that. In a month, we're going to celebrate the greatest holiday, way more important than Christmas. We're going to celebrate the greatest holiday we celebrate as Catholics. Anybody know what that is? Easter, not Christmas. Why is Easter such a big deal? That's when Jesus rose from the dead. That's absolutely right. But you can't rise from the dead until you are first dead. And the way we see the world, you can't be dead until you are first human. And Mary made that possible. Okay? Mary was at the center of all of this. She was there for everything. She was there in the very beginning, and she was there for the very bitter end. But it was her that made this possible. Okay? So then Mary learns all this is happening to her, and she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is the mother of John, not John the Apostle, but John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. John the Baptist actually baptized Jesus, not because Jesus needed to be baptized, but Jesus was giving it as an example for everyone to see, to get baptized. And Mary goes to see Elizabeth, and before they exchange words, before Mary tells Elizabeth anything, Elizabeth says this from the Bible. Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth knew what was going on with Mary before Mary said anything, because we believe the Holy Spirit had delivered that message to Elizabeth in advance. And she knew. And Mary's response was this: my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit finds joy in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his servant in her lowliness. All ages to come shall call me blessed. God who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. So Mary gave a prophecy there, and whoever before said, oh, Mary's blessed. That was Mary's prophecy. She said, all ages to come, all people to come, they're going to call me blessed. 2,000 years later, what are we calling Mary? The Blessed Virgin. 2,000 years from now, what will we be calling Mary? The Blessed Virgin. That was her prophecy. Now, Mary's life was not always easy, okay? When Joseph heard about that Mary was going to have a child, he wanted to leave her. He didn't understand until he received a message of what his role was. You guys have heard stories How did they end up in Bethlehem in a barn to have a baby? Because they were on the run. They had to hide out. Because people were hearing word that a Savior was coming and they wanted to kill the Savior as a baby. So her and Joseph lived a perilous life trying to make sure Jesus was okay. And what else happened? This is a question for you guys. What else happened in Mary's life that was a hardship? What else happened in Mary's life that was a pretty big hardship? Anything? Pretty big clue. Right behind me. Understand, Mary was a mom and Jesus was her son. You know, my kids say to me, they're getting a little older now, and my kids say to me, "Dad, stop treating me like I'm a kid." I'm like, they're always going to be my kids and they're always going to be kids to me. They're always going to be my little kids. Well, Mary had to watch her child get publicly humiliated, get ripped to shreds, and then get murdered on a cross. That's what she had to watch. And that was part of her role as the mother of God. Okay? Now, the fourth thing that we learn about Mary is that Mary's body and soul were assumed up into heaven. Well, what does that mean? So we are all born with original sin, okay? So to a degree, our bodies are a little corrupted in a way by that, which is why at the end of our lives, our bodies go in the ground and our soul is free and our soul hopefully goes up to heaven, okay? Mary didn't need that. Mary did not have original sin. Mary did not have sin. Her body was perfectly pure. So her body and soul went up to heaven, where she can be the heavenly mother for all of us. And as a matter of fact, in the Bible it says one of the last things Jesus did, he's dying on the cross, and he looks down, and the Apostle John is there with Mary at his feet. And Jesus looks at John and said, "Now she is yours." Jesus turned his mother over to John. And at that moment, Jesus turned his mother over to all of us to be our heavenly mother. And when we pray that prayer, the Hail Mary, which I hope you pray it all the time, when we pray that prayer, the Hail Mary, we have to understand something, is we do not worship Mary. We only ever worship God. So when we pray, we actually can only pray to God. But if we pray to Mary or we pray to another saint, what we're praying for them is not to worship them, but to ask them to intercede on our behalf with God. We ask them for help. We ask them to advocate for us. We're saying, "Mary, please, my mother's sick. Could you please intercede on my behalf?" We don't ask Mary to do anything. We ask her to intercede on our behalf with God. And that is what Mary wants to do for you. There's a beautiful story. There was a man named John Petrovich. John was out on a jog one day. And John was going by this house and he sees there's an ambulance in the driveway. The doors are all open. He could tell something was going on. And he's wondering, should I go try to help? But he said, "You know, I'm not really like a medical person. I'm just going to get in the way. So I'm just going to keep jogging, but I'm going to pray for the person in the house." So he prays a Hail Mary. A week later, he's jogging the same route, and the lady comes out of that house and goes in the driveway and waves him over. He comes up to the lady, and she says, "I want to thank you for saving my life." He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. She says, "I was in that house a week ago. I was dying. I ended up in the hospital. And In a vision, Jesus came to me and said, don't worry, you're going to be fine. Someone has prayed for you. And she said, in the vision, Jesus held up his hand, and on the palm of his hand, I saw your face. I want to close tonight. I really hope that you guys got a sense, that you guys learned tonight about Mary. Mary's role in our faith is huge. And she was such a strong person. So I want to close tonight with a couple final thoughts. One, again, Mary is not just a saint. She's our greatest saint above all others, men and women. Okay? Mary's life was a labor of love. She was blessed with amazing grace and extreme sorrow. I don't really have a great answer for that. I will say this. I think Jesus is perfectly pure, and Mary was perfectly pure. And if anything, she can never be more, but maybe she was the same. But it's a good question. Thank you. God called Mary, and Mary answered that call with incredible faith, incredible courage, and complete selflessness. And we are called to be like Mary. So I want to close with a little story. It's a story you probably have probably all heard before, but I don't care. One night there was a man coming home from work. He's going into his apartment. And before he goes inside, he looks down and he sees on the corner there's a young girl there. He could tell she's cold, she's hungry, and she has nowhere to go. He goes in his apartment, he shuts that door, he goes inside and he looks up and he says, God, how can you do that? You're supposed to be a loving God. Why don't you do something about that? Later that night, when he was calm, God answered him. God said, I did do something about it. I made you. Thank you. It's been a privilege to speak with you guys tonight. Thank you.
most important enduring lessons that they not only taught me, but actually exemplified in their daily lives, was that of the power of prayer. My parents taught me that prayer was the most powerful force in the world, and that if you really want to see things happen, if you really want to see souls converted, if you really want to see them, I've got 10 minutes, and I think... I grew up in a care... charismatic Pentecostal Christian home. And my father was a pastor, my mom an evangelist. And one of the most important enduring lessons that they not only taught me, but actually exemplified in their daily lives, was that of the power of prayer. My parents taught me that prayer was the most powerful force in the world. And that if you really want to see things happen, if you really want to see souls converted, if you really want to see the things that you're worried about change, then bring passion to prayer, because you move the hand of God by spending your life on your knees. If you had asked my wife 5 years ago, who is your impossible dream? If you had to name anyone who would never become Catholic, who is that person? She wouldn't name a celebrity. She wouldn't name a Satanist. She wouldn't name an atheist. She would say, my husband. Because I literally looked her in the eyes once and said, hey, no disrespect, but I will never become Catholic. God has a sense of humor. I never wanted to be one of those people who stressed about going to church. I never wanted to be one of those people who felt like he had to go to Mass on Sundays or holy days of obligation. I never wanted to be that. I remember one time I was sitting on a bus from Kalamazoo, Michigan to Chicago, and this gorgeous woman walks on the bus, and there's some guy with a rosary in his hand, and he sees this gorgeous woman, and all of us guys on this bus are eyeing this lady like she's so beautiful. This guy sees her, and he takes his rosary, and he puts his head down, and he starts to pray it. And I look at this guy, and I think, how pathetic. What a loser. This guy can't even look at this beautiful woman passing by because he's holding a rosary. I never will be a guy like that. I had no idea that God was in the process of transforming me into that pathetic loser, day by day, minute by minute, in a way that I could have never fathomed. About a year before I became Catholic, my wife made a commitment to pray the rosary every day. I had no idea what she was doing and what that would mean for me. She told me that she was doing it, but that was just like anything, telling me she's going to Mass or telling me she's saying a novena. It was one of those things that I just casually respected, but I didn't really make a big deal out of it. My wife showed up every day, and she prayed the rosary. I continued to live my life. I didn't care about it at all. Then one day, I was invited to a camp called Camp Veritas. A good friend of mine from high school invited me to come there. And I went to this camp, and it's all Catholic, and it's all about just bringing young people together for Jesus. And I had never been to Adoration before, and they had Adoration that night, and I went to Adoration. I'm not thinking about anything Catholic. I'm not thinking I'm about to become Catholic. I'm not thinking, you know, this is a place to explore Catholicism. I was here for my friend to help. And I remember getting back to my room that night. There was something that happened when I was in Adoration that I can't explain. I can't explain it. Something happened when I was in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. And no one had explained to me what that was supposed to mean. I just didn't know. And I get back to my room, I hear a voice from within that says, you're Catholic. And at first I think, oh, that's just some crazy thought that was in my mind, but that could possibly be true. But it was like a punch to my gut from within, and it said it a second time, you're Catholic. And I just knew in every fiber of my being that I was Catholic, and there was no going back. And it was like the scales fell from my eyes. All of my skeptical questions, all of my antagonistically framed objections just energetically transformed into curiosities about this beautiful faith that I knew I was called to participate in. I owe that to the power of the rosary. I wasn't praying it, but my wife was praying it. And we all have a concept of the impossible dream, that thing that can't be achieved, that thing that can't be done, that person that can't be saved. And sometimes we try to achieve that with willpower. Sometimes we try to achieve that with argumentation. But there is nothing on this world that works quite like the power of prayer when it is combined with the motherly advocacy and intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Nothing in the universe beats that. Mary doesn't just win sometimes. She wins all the time. After I left Camp Veritas, I remember I was being driven to the airport, and as we were in the car, someone says, "Want to pray a rosary?" And at this point, I didn't really have a lot of familiarity to it, and like, I don't think anybody's really sitting in the car excited about spending their time praying the rosary, but it was sort of like, you know what? Sure, I should probably start getting used to this. I didn't realize at that time that that in and of itself was a kind of signal grace, that it was a foreshadowing of a life to which I was being called. And I went along with it, and I prayed the rosary, and I didn't experience any, you know, miraculous experiences or anything like that. But when I got home, I sat my wife down, and I told her about my experience, and she was completely shocked. She was going through some doubts that she didn't really know how to express to me. She was going through some challenges with her faith that she didn't know how to express to me because I wasn't Catholic and I was pretty casual with that stuff. But she was able to open up to me, and it ignited her faith and it put a spark in her. And it confirmed that this path that she was on, even though it wasn't always accompanied by the feeling that things are working out, that there is something that happens behind the scenes. I remember when I was in RCIA, I started watching YouTube videos of Gabby Castillo. Growing up in a charismatic church, I was very accustomed to compelling speakers, motivating speakers, but there was something different about Gabby. Every word that he spoke just seemed to call me to a deeper life of prayer, unlike one that I had known before. And when he talked about the power of praying the full rosary, it seemed like something that just wasn't possible. It seemed like something that only fanatics would do, or maybe only the monastics could do. Praying all four mysteries, I thought, man, I don't know how in the world I can be able to squeeze prayer into my day like that. But when he talked about the promises of the rosary, those really spoke to my heart. And I said, you know what? I can at least start by doing the three Hail Marys devotional. And I did the three Hail Marys, but after a while it was like, okay, I can do more than this. And I started to do one rosary. But then after a while, it was almost as if the more I prayed the rosary, the more I became capable of praying the rosary, and the more Our Lady began to help me find the opportunity. She began to help me to see moments in the day as moments where I could take advantage of that chance to pray the rosary. I find myself in a coffee shop, and it's a long line, and I've got 10 minutes, and I think to myself, well, what else am I going to do? I'm going to be sitting here worrying about something. I'm going to be fantasizing about something. Why don't I just take this off and start praying a decade? And as I'm there in line, I pray a decade. And is it the perfect prayer? No, but what else am I going to do? It's better than anything else I'm going to think about. I'd rather pray badly than do a really great job at thinking about something that is less valuable than praying the rosary. And after a while, I begin to realize that when you pray the rosary and you give Our Lady the opportunity to really minister to your heart, something happens and you're no longer squeezing prayer into your day, but you're squeezing your day into prayer, and the quality of your relationship to the day begins to change. The way the day feels, the rhythm of your life changes, and the full rosary changed the very way that I think about days. And now I don't think about my days in terms of minutes or in terms of hours. I think about my days in terms of decades. Here's a big issue that I see lots of people getting stuck on. You don't have to say the introductory prayers every single time. Every time you start a new set of mysteries, you just go straight into it because you're still praying the rosary. You don't have to close out the previous set. You don't have to give an introduction for the new set. Just keep that momentum going. After listening to Gabi, I started to get intentional about it. But I didn't know any of the prayers, and this stuff seemed really complicated. I remember going on Amazon Prime, and I started just looking for rosaries that I could pray. That way I could have somebody just praying it with me, and I could listen. And I found these beautiful collections of rosaries where you can pray with the saints. And what they do is after each bead, they offer up some reflection from that particular saint. And that was a really powerful experience for me because I felt like I was making friends with these saints, and I started inviting Thérèse Lisieux to pray with me, or Padre Pio, and I felt like how maybe a professional or aspiring athlete might feel if they get a chance to play basketball with Steph Curry or LeBron James. I'm with Padre Pio and Thérèse Lisieux praying the rosary. And the more I prayed it, the more I wanted to pray it. And it's still like that today. I pray a full rosary every day, but the more I pray it, the more I feel like, you know what, let's pray more. And it's not some kind of compulsion where I feel like God won't love me if I don't pray more, or something bad is going to happen if I don't pray more. But the more I do it, the more I want to do it. And one of the reasons why I never have and never will identify with the fear of loving Mary too much is because loving Mary for me is not a theory. It's something that I know from the inside out. And one thing about her love is that when you love something that is unholy, your love becomes increasingly more disordered. But when you love someone that is holy or someone that is pure, your love becomes more rightly ordered. Your love becomes more purified. And the more I love Mary, the more I give her my time, the more I'm drawn to Eucharistic adoration, the more I'm drawn to going to confession, the more I want to go to Mass. It's all about the fruits. St. Louis de Montfort says that Mary is a veritable tree of life. Wherever she plants her roots, she yields the fruit, that only fruit that she can bear, the fruit that is our Lord. And so when you look at people who pray